Let us pray. Almighty God, we, your humble servant, are gathered once again in your house of prayer. We come, God, knowing that you are the only true and wise God. No matter what man may say, no matter what man may do, God, you are the author and the finisher of all things. It is our prayer, God, that some way, somehow, we'll be faithful until you call us home. Now, Lord, let your love flow through this thou servant into the hearts and mind of these, your children. It's in Jesus' name we do ask this. Amen and amen. Wow. I stand before you humbled by the privilege that you have given me to stand and share the word of God. You should be so kind as open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. And being that when I came here, the new version of the Bible was the NIV, that's where I'm going. Amen. Hear ye the words of God as recorded by Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, begin reading at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelite. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory would extend from the desert and from Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, and to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on them day and night, so that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. May the Lord God add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Wow. Chosen by God is a topic I chose because I was trying to look at something that might be applicable to the student body. I know some of you have already been told where you're going, and you pretty much have in mind what you're going to do. You know, you've known that for quite some time. But there are others in here who's wrestling and not sure exactly where God is going to send them. But yet, I pray that everybody here can agree on one point. All of us who are saved by God was chosen by God. It is not something we woke up one day and decided, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be God, man. No, God in his wisdom, in his infinite way, moved in such a way that he moved on our hearts and mind, and we had a burning desire to do God's will. And brothers and sisters, I chose the first point here and the topic as chosen because I didn't want you to get caught up with the word call, because every time you hear the word call, you think about some preacher. But brothers and sisters, God chose each one of us, and he endowed each one of us with some skills and talent. And if we're obedient to God and do his will, those skills and talents will lead us in the way that God wants us to do. Isn't it amazing? God don't normally call a mechanic who was not good with his hand working with tools. You wouldn't dare go to a mechanic who don't even know what a wrench looked like. No. But God, and there are certain people with the ability to look at things, complex things, and figure out how it works, and he equipped them to do that. And yes, he overcalls some of us to be preachers and teachers of his word. But that's more than an intellectual exercise. That is a spiritual component to that is so powerful, so strong, that if we are doing what thus says the Lord, our walk would reflect what God have called us to do. And brothers and sisters, every one of us have been endowed with some talent. Most folks think that most Caucasians can't sing. I'm not of the persuasion. Some think that most African Americans are great dancers. Well, I'm just the opposite. I can't dance and I can barely sing. But understand, we all can do something for the Lord. We all have the gifts and talents and have the ability to share what God have done for us with those that he put in our path. I was struck that when I came in and took a seat, I looked around and I noticed I had a seat all to myself. No, sister made me shower before I left this morning. My prayer is that each one of us will become contagious. You know when you're contagious, they quarantine you. It is my prayer that your love for God will be so powerful, so strong, that no matter where you go, the love of God will flow through you and draw those who don't know him to him. And even those who have a walk with him because they're going through something, the love of God will be flowing through you in such a way that you will help them deal with whatever they're facing with. Brothers and sisters, this walk is not something that gives us immunity to trials and aerial. We all have up and downs in life. And as we be faithful to God's call, he will be faithful to us. Wow. Notice how this book opened after the death of Moses. Moses, the great leader, has died. Can you imagine that? Can your mind focus on that? Here is God calling one of his servants and telling him, Moses have died. I am fin to give you the land on the other side of the Jordan. You got to go from the east to the west. The Jordan is flooded, and you got to go to the other side. And oh, by the way, I know no one over here is trained in warfare. You don't have no great generals, but guess what? You're finna go over and take a land, and your great leader is dead. Wow. Wow. The first time we hear of Joshua, it is when he is fighting the war, he's fighting the Amalekites, and he was victorious. The key when you read about Joshua is the fact that he was an obedient servant. He was Moses' aide, and he did what he was told to do. He didn't fuss about it. When he was told, he went out and did what thus said the Lord. Every time you see Joshua, you get a glimpse of a man who has sold out for the Lord. We don't know who his parents was. The Bible don't tell us. When we first meet him, it don't even tell us that he is a faithful servant. It's only as we read and get little specks about him that we realize that Joshua was truly a man who feared and loved the Lord. Wow. Brothers and sisters, being here at RTS, if you're not careful, you'll begin to think you're the smartest thing that God ever created. You are God's gift to mankind, and you're going to move earth and mountains because of the education you receive here. That's great. But again, what you've been called to do is more than an intellectual exercise. It is a walk that requires endurance. You have been called for a time of learning. Enjoy this time. Learn as much as you can. And I promise you, no matter how many books they give you to read, you will not read enough. And even though you don't think you have learned anything, the minute you walk outside of him again to do what thus said the Lord, you'll be amazed at what the Holy Spirit will call back to your memory and how you'll be able to help those he put in your path. Remember, I said be contagious. brothers and sisters, if you're contagious, you ain't got to be walking around trying to make sure you're going to share the gospel. Just because you show up, you're sharing it, you're walking your talk. Let people know what it means to be a child of God. Sometimes the greatest sermon you will ever preach is not what you read from the Bible, but be the life that you live, the way you treat the people that God put in your path. And more often than not, it is how you treat the people who can do absolutely nothing for you. Wow. What is your response to the homeless when they come around you? Can't stand them because they smell bad? Or do you look at them as a child of God and willing to help if God give you the ability? Wow. So Joshua is commissioned here. He is told by God, this is what I'm going to do. So the commission is laid out. God has called him and he reminded him that he's going to give him the land to take. And Moses is dead. I think one of the key points we need to understand, God's plan do not depend on us. We are not so important that God's plan would not succeed without us. And all too often we get so caught up in what we're doing, we think God's plan can only function through us. But look at this. The Israelites knew God had promised them the promised land. God had told them they were going to have it. And when they got to the very spot, they got there. And they can look over the River Jordan and see the other side. And then God take Moses off the scene. Normally when the leader is taken off the scene, panic break out. Folks begin to wonder, oh, what are we going to do? And they did mourn for Moses. When you read the words, you see they mourned for 30 days for Moses. But then God called Moses' aid. And notice something. You don't read where Joshua decided he was going to be the leader. Joshua didn't jump up one day and say, okay, I'm going to lead the people. No, Joshua waited until God called him. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we get so caught up in doing stuff for God that we get in front of God. And we get in front of God, only disaster is about to happen. Remember the servant that went before him? Moses had an inkling that he was called to deliver the children of Israel out of slavery. And when he jumped up and tried to do it in his own power, he messed up. He ended up killing a slave taskmaster. And he had to go spend 40 years on the backside of a mountain where God dealt with him and let him know, you work at my pace, not your pace. And that's still something for each one of us this day. We work at God's pace, not ours. Well, preacher, how do you find out what's God's pace? You find out how God's pace by reading and praying and spending time with God. If I ask you, how many of you have a mother? Everybody raise their hand. If I say, if your mother walked in the back door and started talking, would you have to look around to know that your mother's in here? Most of you said, no, I know my mom's voice. But how many of us wrestle with, is God talking to me? Have God said something? How many of us run to our pastor and say, I think God is speaking to me, I'm not sure. How many of us wrestle with that? If you don't spend time in God's word, if you don't spend time praying to God, if you don't spend time around God-fearing people, when God speaks to you, you won't even know it's God. You won't recognize his voice. And oh, by the way, let me say this while I'm standing here. The assignments you have in Dr. Water class will not ensure that you hear the word of God. How you doing, Dr. Water? What am I saying? Brothers and sisters, do not caught up in your home, get caught up in your homework because you're told to read books about God and read some scriptures. Do not let that substitute for your time with God. That's in addition. Somehow in your makeup, you should want to rise either early in the morning or late at night. I don't know what it is for you, but you need to spend some time with God, some quality time with God, where you're reading his word, meditating on his word, and wrestling with his word. Wow.
And if you do that, when God speaks, the chances are you'll know his voice when he speaks to you. Just like if your mother walked in the door and started talking, you'll know without even looking around. Wow. So please, do not get so caught up in studies that you don't find some quiet time with God. You don't take time to pray. You don't take time to read and meditate on his word. Wow. So we see Joshua was commissioned. But notice when God commissioned Joshua, he also gave him assurance. Our psalm would say he made a covenant with Joshua. He told Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you. Wherever Joshua went, nobody, no man will be able to stand against him. Wow. He told him, as I was with my servant Moses, I will also be with you. Wow. And he also told him, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. He gave him a task to do, but then gave him the assurance that he will be successful. And brothers and sisters, if you are praying and talking to God, whatever he called you to do, he will ensure you are equipped to accomplish the task that he'll call you to do. Wow. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, my mind jumped all the way over to Jesus. When Jesus was getting ready to go, he told his disciples, go ye into all the nations, preaching and teaching, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he closed it, and lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of time. Brothers and sisters, we are successful, not so much so, and please hear what I'm going to say, not so much so that we are obeying the word of God, as it is that God is with us and we're listening to and following his guidance. God's presence makes all the difference in the world. And when you submit to him, you are more than the world is against him. Or should I say against us? I don't know about you, but as I listen to the news, as I watch what's going on, my eyes begin to tell me, oh Lord, we're losing. There are things going on in the world today that when I was a child would never happen. And I asked God, did I go to sleep? Did something happen? Am I a true Rip Van Winkle? What's going on? There are things going on now that I just flat can't believe. My parents would not tolerate some of the things that's happening today. And yet, I profess to be a man of God. I profess to be a Christian. And yet somehow, some way, my voice is not being heard. Or maybe I'm not saying it enough. It always amazed me. I don't know about you, but if I turn on my TV, about every day I hear Satan pronouncing what he wants every day, no matter what show. If I turn to sports, think I'm just going to watch a good game, they'll weave it in there, something to have in there to tell me, man, you can't even watch sports. And maybe once every 2 years, I may get in the pulpit and say, God said. And because I don't want to upset nobody, I do not want to upset anyone, my conversation will be steered into safe places. Oh, the weather was bad the other day. Yeah, you stay in Mississippi, the weather will change. I will never talk about those hard subjects or those things that require someone to make a decision about what thus says the Lord. Is it that I don't love my brothers? I don't care whether you're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell? Oh, that's time for break. But we are sure that if we do what thus says the Lord, God will be with us. And look at this real frame that keeps going on here. He said, Be courageous. Wow. God is calling for a people who have the courage to stand to do his will. And I'm not standing here telling you to go out and every place you see, you're talking about thus said the Lord. No, you let the Spirit of God guide you. Again, we go back to that relationship with God. Let God guide you when it's appropriate. Because when you're doing it when it's appropriate to God, and I don't know about you, but when people come around me, my default is to start praying because I don't know which way God wants me to do, how he wants me to say. And I ask him, God, please show me. Help me to share your love with whoever you put in my path. My default is praying and crying to God. Help me to do your will. Why? I have come to realize within myself, I can't accomplish nothing. But with God, all things are possible. So, be courageous. And he keeps saying this, and this is praying you hear it all time and time and time in here. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. But if I said earlier, he said here again, be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Wow. There's a condition if you expect God to be with you. Brothers and sisters, you can't be doing what you want and what the world wants you to do and expect God to be with you. Notice it said, do not veer from the left to the right. And most of us are not even conscious of that, but you can sort of get enticed by people and slowly drift away from what God have called you to do because you're doing what the world say. But notice this antidote for that. Constantly reading and meditating on God's word is the antidote to keep you from drifting away from what thus says the Lord. Thy word I hide in my heart. Why? So that I may not sin against thee. Wow. And he closed it out again by be strong and be courageous. Have I not commanded you to do that? God is reminding Joshua, okay, we're finna go take this land. If you obey me, the people will follow you and you will be successful. And brothers and sisters, you need to understand, when God bless us, he don't always do it all at once. If you know the story of the conquering of the promised land, God did that gradually. Why? Because Israel was not ready to take over the whole land. So as God blessed them and they increased in number, he slowly drove out the enemy in front of them. And oh, people get upset and say, why are you talking about this old book of war in the Old Testament? God is New Testament God. Yes, he is, but God says he's a just God and he will punish his enemies. The book of Joshua is about God dealing with those heathens who refused to accept him and disobeyed him. We don't talk about the just God. We always talk about the loving God. But we need to remind people, God is a just God, and everybody will not get to heaven. What scares me is I don't know who God have chosen. So anybody put in my path, I must venture to help them meet the Lord God Almighty. Perhaps they are one of his children who have gone astray. What scares me, there's a parable called the sheep and goats. In that parable, it said, Lord, we did this. We cast out demons. We healed the sick. And Jesus said, depart from me. I know ye not. Brothers and sisters, our churches are full of people going through the motions, doing what they think God wants them to do, pretending to be children of God. So we pray. I leave you with this. How do you know the will of God? First, pray. Pray and cry out to God. Ask him to show you his will. Second, read the word. Every problem you'll ever be faced with in your lifetime is found in these 66 books. It may not speak to it directly, but some way, somehow, God would answer your prayer. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to back up. If you're his child. Because if you're not his child, maybe in his common grace he might respond to you. But if you're his, you have that assurance that he would hear you and respond. If you're not his, then the only prayer that you assure that he's going to hear is your confession and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So after you've prayed and after you have read the word, brothers and sisters, talk to some God-fearing people. You're not an island. God put folks around you to help you. If God to bless you with a spouse, one of the first person you need to go to is say, tell your spouse. It would be strange for God to tell you, I want you to go overseas and tell your spouse, I don't want you to go nowhere. The words of y'all should be one. Start there and pray together. And then talk to other God-fearing people that God put in your life. And oh, don't be in self. Don't go talk to 900 people and you keep talking till you find one that would agree with what you said. If 99 said that's not of God and then one said yes, oh, God didn't answer. Don't do that. Understand wise counsel and hold on to it. And if God hadn't clearly closed the door after you did all those things, then do what you feel God laid on your heart. And it'll hold you in good stead. I'm not standing here to tell you it's going to be easy, it's going to be perfect. You would have trials. You'll have ups and downs in life. But hold on to the promise that God has made. The beauty of Joshua is how this book ends to me. Everybody there, they're playing, they're having this great meeting, and Joshua's standing. Choose ye who you're going to serve. You're having one of the greatest education that God can provide. You've been prepared to go out and share. And brothers and sisters, I was taught as a young minister, we in the black church believe a pastor supposed to do everything. Do everything. You counsel everybody. My mentor put me aside and said, son, there's no way you can do that. Remember Moses. One of the great joys I have of being a student at RTS to know there's something called marriage and family therapy. Now I have at my disposal God-fearing people who love the Lord. That if somebody walk in and drop something on me, I pray and smile and say, I know a Christian counseling place where you can go and get the help you need. Why would I do that? Our people are funny. They think every time you preach, you're talking about them. And if I counsel somebody about a marriage problem, the minute I talk about marriage, they're going to swear, you put my business in the street. But if I pass them on to someone who loved the Lord, notice I said a Christian counselor. It's important. You don't send a child of God to a heathen. Now, if I was in a black church, I've got an amen, but that's okay. So, who are you going to serve? Who is it that you're going to spend your life trying? trying to please? Will it be the world, or will it be God? Brothers and sisters, it is my prayer that everyone in here, everyone who set a foot on anything that belongs to Reformed Theological Seminary, will sell out for the Lord God Almighty and will live a life that reflects their God's children. May the greatest sermon you ever preach be the life you live before your family and before the world. Let us pray. Lord God, there's a lot going on. We have a lot of things encroaching into our lives. You have blessed us, given us access to an outstanding education. You have blessed some of us with spouses, and Lord, you even saw fit to bless our union with children. And yet, God, there's 24 hours in a day. And if I'm not careful, I will let the things of this world and the challenges of my life crowd you out my life. If I'm not careful, I will not only relegate you to third or fourth place, but I put my family way down the line because I'm doing the Lord's work. Please, God, let you be our first love. Let our families be next. And let us faithfully serve those you have put in our path. Help us, God, to be your faithful servants. And may you call each one of us by name and say, well done. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.